C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Here's your money briefing for Wednesday, March 9th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. After years of record or near-record lows, economists expect mortgage rates to climb in the next several weeks. For some consumers, locking in mortgage rates before they rise could mean the difference between affording a new home and not. But acting fast is not the only trick to getting a lower rate.
So as tempting as it may be to start thinking about furnishing your house and buying nice new fixtures and such, hold off. Wait on those big purchases until the mortgage closes.
Coming up, we'll talk with WSJ personal finance reporter Veronica Dagger about what consumers can do to keep their credit rate high and how to avoid pitfalls in the mortgage process. That's after the break.
C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Mortgage rates have been at historic lows for the past few years, but since the beginning of the year, they've been slowly creeping up, nearing 4%, and economists expect that number to rise more in the coming weeks and months. So what should you do if you want to lock in those low rates now? Let's bring in WSJ reporter Veronica Dagger for some tips. Hey, Veronica, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Veronica, mortgage rates were off to the races for the first 2 months of the year. Why did they tick lower?
The conflict in Ukraine is one reason rates are staying low for the moment. That's what economists and analysts are saying. You know, investors tend to gravitate toward what they see as safe investments during times of geopolitical tensions and upheaval. And that means things like U.S. Treasury bonds and mortgage-backed securities. And since mortgage rates are so closely tied to the 10-year Treasury note, which also fell recently, that is adding pressure onto mortgage rates, which is a good thing for people who are looking to get a mortgage.
So, you know, we saw mortgage rates approach 4% in the past few weeks after falling to record lows during the depths of the pandemic. What could cause the rates to rise again?
Well, the Fed is meeting next week and likely going to raise interest rates. And so when that happens, we're likely going to see mortgage rates go up as well. How much they're going to go up, it may just be incremental, but still it will tack on more dollars to people's mortgages if you're out there shopping for one. There's a flip side to this, right? You know, you're going to be having to pay a more expensive mortgage most likely, especially if you don't have that top credit score. But on the flip side, often it adds a little pressure in the housing market in that more houses become available because less people may be shopping for a mortgage because the mortgages are more expensive. I mean, that's traditionally what happened. We're in this very strange housing market. And so that may not happen. That rule may not apply this spring selling season, but it could increase some inventory for potential buyers, which would be a good thing.
Okay, so being able to capitalize on lower rates can make a big difference. Now, you mentioned credit scores. So let's talk about ways that people can lock in a rate while they're low. How does someone's credit score fit into that equation?
Right. So the better credit score you have, the better mortgage rate you'll get. And so the first step is to pull your credit reports from those large credit reporting firms like Experian and Equifax and TransUnion. Check them out for errors. And if you have any errors on your reports, dispute them and get them resolved through whatever resolution process that credit reporting firm offers. If you have a credit score of 740 or higher, you're going to get the best rates. Now, if you don't have that score, it's okay. You can still get a mortgage. I don't want you to stress yourself out thinking you need a score of 800 or 740 or better to get a rate. You will get a mortgage. It just may not be at the best rate possible.
So let's say someone is awaiting mortgage approval. What could they do to keep their credit score in the range that could mean lower interest payments?
So as tempting as it may be to start thinking about furnishing your house and buying nice new fixtures and such, hold off. Wait on those big purchases until the mortgage closes. Any change in your credit score or your debt ratio or even your employment status. I know a lot of people are quitting these days. Wait to do that until you have your approval. Everything's in writing, signed, sealed, delivered. Don't make any big changes until everything is set in stone.
So that big sectional couch, you got to hold off?
Yes. Even if there's a sale, hold off.
Okay. Now, we often hear about lenders offering discount points to consumers as a way to lower their mortgage interest rates. What are the pros and cons of going down that route?
So a big pro of discount points is that it helps you lower your interest rate on your mortgage. And so that's a really positive benefit for potential buyers. The con is, though, you have to fork over extra money up front in order to buy the points. You can only buy discount points before the mortgage starts. You can't do it once you're already into the mortgage. And so these points can add additional costs at closing. And so that may not be possible. It may not be a feasible strategy for people, especially in this market, for people who are buying houses at top dollar. However, if you are one of those lucky people who were able to save any pandemic related funds that you got through the government, or you had another source of income that you pursued during the pandemic and are sitting on a lot of cash, this could be a good option for you.
Now, you know, Veronica, lender fees can really change the math for a lot of people planning to buy a home. How can people manage those fees?
Right. So you need to look at the entire picture. So not just interest rates. You need to focus on APR, which you, if you have a credit card, you're probably familiar with, which is the annual percentage rate. So you want to compare offers based on the various APRs, because if you compare APRs, you're making a comparison of mortgages that encompasses both the interest rate and then the fees charged for the loan. So you want to make sure you're doing this apples to apples APR comparison. Now, when it comes to the down payment, if you can afford it, make a 25% mortgage down payment instead of a 20% one. And that's something a source from NerdWallet told me. It said with a down payment of 25% or more, lenders will give you a break in mortgage fees compared with a loan with a down payment of 20% to 24.99%.
So now, Veronica, we've talked on the show before about how a mistake home buyers often make is not applying to more than one lender. But how would multiple applications affect someone's credit score?
While applying for a mortgage might cause a small ding on your credit score, applying to multiple lenders shouldn't make your score any worse. The key is, though, you need to apply within the same time frame. So typically, it's a 45-day period. So if you apply to more lenders within that 45-day period, it's really considered one inquiry for the purposes of your score.
Now, you know, in the past year or two, we've seen mortgage rates all over the place, ticking up and down. Let's say somebody's been approved for a mortgage, they sign all the papers. Then a few days later, the rates tick lower. What happens then?
So if you already signed on the dotted line, call your lender, because typically within 30 to 60 days of closing, you can lock in your rate at any time. So if you see that there's a rate that is cheaper that the lender is offering within that time frame, you can call them and ask for that adjustment. Don't depend on the lender to let you know what's happening. You need to be proactively monitoring their website to see what those daily rates are. You want to make sure the lender's not going to charge you extra to lock in that rate, though, because sometimes, you know, if you're building a house, which we're hearing people doing these days, or delays are occurring because of construction delays, because it's hard to find people to actually work on the house, just make sure the lender is not going to tack on extra fees to extend that rate lock.
You know, Veronica, when someone's trying to buy a house, there are so many moving parts, so many groups of numbers in their personal finances, and there's so much riding on this that could result in them being able to buy a house. Are there tools online that people can use to help them kind of wade through the blizzard of numbers?
Yes. So there's online calculators. There's various sources for these, you know, Bankrate, NerdWallet, some other sources have these calculators that you can type in how much of a mortgage you want to take out and then what your monthly payment would be given the interest rate that they are, the mortgage rate they are proposing. So that can give you a sense of what you can handle. You want to be careful, though, when you use these calculators. You want to make sure any calculator you're using incorporates things like property taxes, and it also considers things like maintenance fees. Because if you're going to buy a home, yes, you're going to have to pay for a mortgage, but that's not your only cost. You're going to have things like closing costs. You're going to have things like property taxes over the course of owning this place. You're going to have to upkeep the home, and that's going to cost you money as well. So just calculating how much you're going to be paying monthly in a mortgage isn't necessarily the full picture. So when you're calculating, thinking about how much house you can buy, you need to think about all these other elements to the equation as well.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Veronica Dagger. Veronica, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, JR.
Thank you for your interest in the WSJ podcasts from the Wall Street Journal. We're always looking to improve, and we're interested in hearing your opinions. Please go to wsj.com/survey and take a survey that will help us bring you more of the content you're looking for. Thank you for your time and support.